Hi, and welcome to the Back at Work podcast. My name is Annika Hegblom, and this week we're talking about a subject that has both inspired me and bothered me during the past few years. What's the one big thing that changed work life few years ago? Well, of course, the pandemic swept across the globe and forced many office workers to start working from home. This was not the first time people have worked from home or the first time teams have worked fully remotely, but the pandemic made this a much more widespread and common form of work. Since then, many companies, teams, and individuals have been trying to figure out how to work efficiently and effectively in a remote work environment, and what this means for team cohesion, leadership, communication, onboarding, innovation, etc. We have now lived in this new normal for about 4 years, and it's evident that remote work is now an established part of work, something many people find vital to their work life. Studies show that many people would actually consider changing jobs if they were not allowed to work from home or remotely. So it's clear that remote work has become a very common and widespread form of work among former office workers. As I mentioned, this topic both inspires me and to a certain degree bugs me. Are we too focused on measuring the productivity of remote work to notice the social implications of remote work? Are people actually happy and satisfied with the remote work setups? How does remote work affect the way we interact with each other and socialize? With me today to discuss these questions, I have Terry Galvin, Vice President of Recycling Services at CalTire. Welcome, Terry.
Hey, thanks, Annika. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. So on the topic of remote work, unfortunately, I've had the experience in one form or another throughout my career to be able to work at home, probably 15 or 20 years in some fashion. So either between business trips or in the latest time, as you mentioned, you know, after the pandemic, to be able to work from home full time. In fact, changing careers into a completely different company, the remote work or within the remote work domain. So I'm really happy to be here today to chat a little bit with you on the topic of remote work, as it's something that I'm very passionate about as well.
Great. I'm really happy to have you here, and also because all the experience you have. As you mentioned, you had extensive experience of working remotely and in remote teams already before the big pandemic, and in that way, did the pandemic change anything for you, or was everything just business as usual? The rest of the world went into chaos, and you just kept on working with your remote team as nothing had happened, or did it cause any change in the way you worked?
Yeah, it's funny. I think the domain and having the context in the domain prior to it was a much more comfortable transition for me. I would say the short answer is no, it really didn't change much. And it's a question that I pondered a lot over the last couple of years is that why, you know, were some of us, you know, as leaders, you know, and managers able to thrive and what brought on, you know, the challenges, with others, you know, throughout, that change of environment. And one of the keys is it really is just a change of environment. You know, if you think of it, you know, in this new virtual world, you know, with all of the tools and all of the things, it's like, you know, moving from your office to work in Starbucks or something like that. It's just a change in, where we actually sit. And if we adjust our mentalities, and one of the things that I think was the biggest key for me was to take away, sort of that negative, connotation of, you know, remote work, and say, well, you know, this is just a different set of parameters that we need to engage in, you know, to deliver our tasks. And when I did that, it was something very interesting happened. I was able to shift my point of view and turn it into, you know, quite a constructive, way to lead others, you know, through this, the challenging time that came up on for us. So, I would say no, it really didn't change. But one of the keys was taking a step back and reflecting on mm-hmm. the environment and you know, turning it into a strength for improving your capability to communicate and interact, versus really focusing on a lot of the other aspects.
I really liked what you said. Felt like you were saying something along the lines that because you didn't have the same setup as you maybe might have had in the office, then you had to figure out a new way of being productive and successful in your job and in what you do, but in this new setup. So it's not, I mean, don't, instead of complaining about this new limitation, so to speak, of being remote, you found the ways that you can be successful remotely.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you really do. And I mean, it's intrinsic within business anyway. So, you know, we really must adapt to any, you know, changing conditions. Mm-hmm. So like if we look at, you know, whether it's a competitive condition in the marketplace or you know, a challenge within, you know, a team or an office, you know, we do need to adapt and you know, really, you know, fortunately, having that experience coming in, you know, I felt like we were able to adapt quite easily. In fact, the previous company that I used to work for was, you know, a major equipment manufacturer based in Finland. And during the pandemic, we actually went through a merger. So we brought two of the largest or most prestigious companies in the space together completely virtually. So the mandate was one of the most challenging things that I'd ever experienced in my career as a whole, you know, in terms of, you know, how do we set up financial systems to personnel to building teams. We actually had to build a team completely virtually. And we had, because of the parameters of the merger, we had a parameter, you know, of about 8 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks, where we needed to bring together a team, in my specific case, of over 150 people. Completely online.
That is it's a feat. So how did you do it?
So we did a lot of it was you know, you really have to put in a lot of effort into generating and building relationships. And you can build relationships, you know, online. So there's a lot of starts with a lot of clarity, you know, in your messaging and your needs and your requirements. So you know, when we want to communicate or get across to the team members, in this specific case, you know, really needed to set, you know, the structure and the framework and clarify the expectations. You know, then it was just a lot of conversation. You know, I find one of the things, you know, that you really do have to do in a virtual world is communicate a lot and reach out a lot and make connections a lot, you know, so you have to spend, you know, probably more time working on that piece than, you know, maybe if you were just running, you know, across somebody in, you know, by the water cooler at work, when you can, you know, you can take those visual cues and those nonverbal cues and you can absorb them. You know, in the virtual world, you know, a lot of that is just time spent, you know. So for example, I had a team of directors that I needed to, so, you know, people that we really relied on, you know, within the business, you know, spent a lot of time sort of getting to know the individuals, but then also getting to know the peer group, you know. So some of those, you know, things you really need to be creative. And I would say the best advice is kind of go with your gut and go with your feeling, and then just take a step back and think of the things, you know, that we would need to, you know, bring in to help us paint that, you know, total picture or help us overcome the challenge in front of us, you know, in the virtual world.
Yeah, definitely. I think what you said there about communication being one of the key things, I couldn't agree with you more. Or do you think it's that there's a difference in the amount of structure you need in order to communicate with all those people virtually versus, traditional stuff?
I don't think so. And I think it's actually, in my view, it's improved business in the sense, because one of the things that I found back in the face-to-face days was that communication was always the challenge, you know. So you would have a group, you know, within an office environment, for example, that would rally together. You would have, you know, small cliques or teams, you know, that would, you know, maybe move into a boardroom and have a private conversation about, you know, a topic that impacted the business around it. And you would spend a lot of time trying to, you know, connect those dots or connect those pieces or find information so you saw the whole picture. So, you know, based on the nature of how office work actually occurred, I actually find the remote environment a lot simpler. And the reason is because you don't actually need more structure, you need less. And what you do is you need in my experience, has been a larger commitment to communicate more. So, and utilize the channels that are available. You know, I think if you think of Teams or, you know, a WhatsApp message or, you know, it's not just an email, you know, so we have this domain, you know, and this ecosystem of technology that can really facilitate better communication.
Hmm.
And, yes. You know, yeah. the magic that came out of that realization is just by utilizing that ecosystem, the uptake was much better. And there was much more engagement because the byproduct, people vertically throughout the organization found that they were hearing those messages more consistently. So when we set the mission or the vision or the direction, you know, the clarity was able to percolate down, you know, to the lower levels or to the different parts, I should say, of the organization, you know, in a more effective way. And we could do it instantaneous. For example, I used to, and many people do this, you know, newsletters or things like, you know, on Yammer, you know, where you have a dialogue. I mean, I think if we think in the social media world, there is that constant connection, you know, all the time. So then when we do that, it seems that we're able to bring that, you know, bring that base of the organization together. And the way it feels for me is it feels to be more inclusive than it was when we were in the office behind the big wooden, you know, door that closed and only the executives got to see what was going on in the organization.
Hmm. Excellent. Really good advice. I'm sure a lot of people are making notes as we speak. One thing I know many managers struggle with is because you already made it very clear that your work and your project here was very successful and you could sort of do everything in a very productive and good structured way virtually. But how did you feel about team cohesion and getting to know all these new people virtually? Because you didn't have the chance to have a team building day or anything like that. As you might have in a traditional setup. How did it feel getting to know all these people virtually? And do you feel like you actually got to know them? Or were they just names on a list somewhere?
Yeah, you know, I had the hypothesis that it was going to be very difficult. And I was that was one of the main concerns that that was in the back of my mind, or actually not in the back of my mind, very much in the front of my mind is, how do we build true, strong bonds, you know, with human beings, you know, throughout this medium? And I'll give you a story. So one of my directors, and actually he's a close dear friend now. He worked for the other company from the one that I worked for during the merger. So we never knew each other. We never had any kind of background or mutual acquaintances. And we met in the interview process after the application. And we became great friends still to this day. And this is, you know, 3-5 years later. Part of it was because of the constraints with actually not being able to go to the other side of the planet and meet this individual, you know, in their area or have him come here. You know, so we just talked a lot. And, you know, we'll talk, you know, for an hour out of the blue now. And it was just amazing. The strength of that bond and the true friendship that we were able to forge, you know, through that, you know, so it really did surprise me. And I think that was the biggest learning was the strength of the bonds that were created. And not just that case, but there was many others, you know, so, you know, Australia, South America, Europe, Africa, it felt like we were able to actually extend that, you know, in a manner or for myself was able to extend that in a manner that, we probably would have taken years, you know, if I were to get on a plane and do the way that we would typically do it, which is fly somewhere, meet somebody a little bit, and then, you know, have dinner. And, you know, it's this whole dance of getting to know somebody. And that was one of my biggest surprises. But I would have said maybe that's the anomaly, but there was case after case after case, both with myself. So- but also yeah. in line of reporting, so that the leaders were able to make those strong bonds, you know, on their own as well.
That's amazing. I'm so happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. But of course, I'm curious to know what's the what's your secret? What's the secret sauce in all of this? Is you said you talked a lot. You talked and talked. But was there something else that you did, or was this maybe the shared experience of this happening, or
there's some really simple tools. And I think that, you know, we've all had bosses that have been, you know, very busy and we struggle to get time with them, you know, and I think one of the things, again, in a leadership position is just to make time, you know, so one of the easiest things one can do, is just, you know, have one-on-ones and have them frequently, you know, 30 minutes a week, or 30 minutes biweekly with the team, your agenda. If this were that kind of discussion, you know, I set it in the calendar as the leader, and you, Annika, you know, what's on your mind? What's going on? Are there things at home? Or are there things at work? Like, what's going on in your world? And I think you touched on it in the intro, that make us feel isolated. The work doesn't necessarily make it feel isolated. It's all of those other things, you know, that go on. You know, maybe it's the weather, maybe there's something that's going on in our family lives, and, you know, sort of just offering an opportunity to where somebody feels comfortable and safe, psychologically, to come in and then just share. We had many meetings where we would talk about kids' sports, pose questions about what I'd like to do or what you like to do, and there was a lot of them that were about business topics, but creating that opportunity.
Yeah, so you had frequent meetings, you said, every week. So that takes a lot of time from you as a manager then to be open and to have that time for everybody. But that's an amazing investment, and it had results, I could see. And you saw people as human beings, not just, they were not just their, not just the productive people at work, but they're real people with real lives outside of the screen also.
And that's something, so I would say in generality, that's something that's always just, you know, perplexed me, is because the work output is, you know, what a company does, or you know, the shareholder value is what a company generates, for example. Mm-hmm. But the people, so, you know, if you have a philosophy of, and many, many leaders do, is let's get the best people around us. You know, for me, I want to be, you know, I want to struggle to keep up with what's going on in the room because I've got such great people around me. But what's it sort of intrinsically within all of that is that we're great people. So, you know, we want to make sure that we can thrive as people, not just as managers or as, you know, position X as a customer. We need to create the environment where people can thrive. Fortunately, through the remote environment, there is definitely a lot more, I feel, because of that individual time, a lot of those things that can creep in, you know, probably at a higher rate or frequency to maybe, you know, have a negative impact. So the antidote is we need to create more time for the positive impact of the release. And we pivot towards that. What we stumble upon is the fact that we can clear barriers or just create the opportunity, you know, for people to succeed, which, and I think if you go into the early management books, like people like Drucker, I mean, that's one of the things that we say is we're knowledge workers, and, you know, the best thing that we can do is create the opportunity for people to succeed. It gives you more opportunity to do that, I think, in a virtual world.
So do you see any need for face-to-face meetings at all anymore? Or do you think that everything could be done virtually now?
No, absolutely not. I think, you know, there is, you know, for sure, you know, needs, you know, for face-to-face. Again, you know, it will never fully replace, I think, because of the, you know, the just human genetics, I mean, DNA. I think, you know, if you go right back to the tribes, I mean, you know, we were generated, you know, or human beings came about as, you know, tribal cultures and then moved through, you know, there is all of those other things that really create the strongest bonds. But I think if you're not able to, you know, there isn't a reason that you wouldn't be able to succeed if you were not able to. So what I would say is that it doesn't replace, but it just expands the toolbox. So where we would be required to say maybe have a quarterly meeting where we bring the whole team together, if we bring, for example, a team of 12 leaders together into a room for mm-hmm. 3 days, how much meaningful time do you actually get to spend?
Mm.
You need to spend it. This just opens up the whole other realm of, you know that sustained and continuous impact of building those true relationships and starting from those sparks and turning those sparks into these, you know, the flames of passion and productivity and effectiveness.
Mm. And another aspect of remote work that I know many managers find challenging is how do you lead or how do you create this opportunity for more creative work and innovation in remote mm-hmm. work? Many people seem to be afraid that now there's no more innovation in our company because we're working remotely and you can't really brainstorm or be creative in a Teams meeting. But do you agree with that, or do you have, what's your experience on this?
No, I don't. I think it's actually the opposite. I think with the types of, if we're open-minded to technology and the benefits, again, you know, the platforms and the tools, you know, in that ecosystem can bring, it actually accelerates it. It creates more opportunity for it. I've never been able to share. I'm a big whiteboard guy. I can think you can see from my hands moving it, you know, let's go on a whiteboard and we'd have lines all over the place. I mean, because that's that creative spirit. You know, always the limitation was you need to have the special meeting or you need to get everybody together to have the whiteboard session. Well, now you can do it on, you know, probably 10 different, you know, commercially available applications, you know, that save those ideas. And, you know, it's not like you dry erase it. You can save those and share them, and you can incorporate, include more people. I think when you're testing these ideas, it's not, you know, the focal point isn't at the top of the pyramid in terms of people that may be, say, in a headquarters, for example.
Mm.
Today, we can, you know, involve people, you know, from different offices or you know, in different positions within it. So the ideas get stronger, but you're able to share those sessions, those creativity or brainstorming sessions across a broader cross-section of your teams or groups. So I think it's better. I think it's never been faster. I think the only thing that holds us back is I shouldn't say the only thing that holds us back, but just dive in with both feet, explore it.
Yeah.
You know, try some things out and keep the ones that stick. And you'll find that one that really fits with you. It lights this passion even in your delivery. And the more ideas come. So I think it actually makes it, you know, creates a lot larger opportunity for innovation than before.
Mm. That's a very compelling argument. I'm still thinking, I'm now playing with the devil's advocate here, but, you know, I also have the experience of you have people, you have all those opportunities there, you have your whiteboards, you have all the opportunities in the world. It's very small, as you said. You could invite anybody to your meeting and it could be great. But what if then you have, you know, people on your team who just hide behind that screen, they hide behind, you know, a black box there on Teams. They maybe don't have their camera on. They shy away from taking turns to say something in meetings. How do you bring out the more quiet people in a team in a remote setting? So do you have good tips on that?
Yeah, you know, again, scale the room, you know, plan, you know, it does take a little bit more planning. So plan your room, plan your audience, plan your team, plan your participation. Part of that is our obligation to know people. So again, people within an organization aren't names on a roster. They're, you know, a set of skills and experience and personality, you know, so when we draw that out, it's our obligation as leaders to know what that is. Mm-hmm. And then tease that out. Just the same as we would in you know, in a seminar or in a session in the room, you know, like who's in the room and you know, we already know what the strengths are if we know our teams. It's our obligation to call on those to bring them in when you know, we see an opportunity. You know, so to create create that platform, you know, for somebody to discuss. And just try it out. You know, the next Teams meeting you go into, you know, look at the name list. If there's 30 or 40 people on there, it's not a meeting anymore. It should be it's a town hall, or, you know, you're just projecting information. So then that's not the correct section. But, you know, if you're sort of, you know, maybe say max 12, you know, the 12 people in the room, and if somebody's been quiet, say, ask them their opinion, ask them what they think, you know, give pause, give a lot of space and silence for somebody to be able to generate input into a discussion and go to the point where it's uncomfortable. Even if it's 2 minutes of silence, it's okay.
Yeah. 2 minutes. Would you be able to sit quietly for 2 minutes?
It's difficult, but it's like anything else. It's like physical training. It's a muscle we have to work. If it starts at 30 seconds, that's great.
No, but you know, actually, a colleague of mine just said that she had read somewhere that in virtual meetings, after asking a question, you should stay quiet for, was it at least 20 seconds? That you have to, because it takes time. Yeah, and it sounds like a painfully long time to me, but I'm actually, it's probably quite true, because it takes the time, you know, after you ask a question, you have to let the other people like take in the question, and what did she say, what implications, what do I think about it, and then maybe you start having a thought that you could share. So yeah. I just think in these virtual meetings, we maybe shy away from the silence a bit more than
Absolutely. And I think one of the things as well is that we have, you know, probably more so than ever before, there's multiple cultures, you know, in a typical Teams meeting. I mean, for me, it's typically, I think, four different distinct cultural representations in the discussion. So, you know, is it the linguistics or the language that, you know, you need to process? Is it sort of a cultural, well, you know, we've from a more of a hierarchical culture? I mean, Latin American countries are famous for this, is, you know, with the leadership sort of being the leader speaks and then, you know, the team follows in. So sometimes you have to sort of say, okay, well, this is the group, and, you know, I need to specifically offer that time to process my English to, you know, into sort of a Spanish message, for example, that somebody needs to know. And then also sometimes you have to say, okay, well, I want to hear from the person who's second in line, because maybe they're sort of just sitting behind the boss, and I'll ask them to engage, and it works pretty well, I think.
Great. This has been a very, very inspiring and uplifting discussion. You have a really so great examples and a lot of important insights from working remotely. I'm really happy that we got to a chance to talk about these. Do you have any, is there anything else you would like to add? Any insights or learnings from your journey as a virtual team manager so far that you would like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, just be curious and realize, I think, as we progress, you know, opportunity and technology is the you know, the space is only going to, from a technology standpoint, is only going to get, you know, better. And, you know, the tools at our disposal, you know, also, you know, are going to come more quickly. So, you know, explore it. Spend some time and do some exploration. And I think, you know, when you, you know, when you start, have the end in mind, have the feeling of the team that you want, you know, that feeling that, you know, is right there. That's how it feels to be, that's how I want my team to feel in terms of an environment. Use that as your guide, and then, you know, be extremely curious and explore a little bit to find technologies that can help us in this virtual world, and techniques, you know, that can make you align your sort of internal compass with that direction being correct. And I think you'll find a lot of successes I have.
Thank you so much, Terry. It was very, thank you for these wise and inspiring words. I think this was very helpful for me and for many listeners. I hope you have a very good rest of the week, and thanks for having taken time to chat with us.
Great. Thanks so much, Annika.
Thanks.